today on Real Radio.
If you do not have a private life of worship, you gotta get one right now.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? It's a collection of topical lessons that takes a look at what Scripture has to say about the activities and the lifestyle of the believer. Now, we're in a multi-part series that answers one of these questions. It's called, Why Should I Worship? It's sad to say that a lot of folks professing to be believers today define the W word in a very narrow way. But the Bible has a lot to say about how worship is part of everything involved in the life of the believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called, Why Should I Worship?
In chapter 2 of Acts, verses 41 to 47, it really puts together what, in my opinion, culminates to me what a healthy and a vibrant church ought to be like. By the way, if you're visiting and you're shopping, I'll put it that way, you're praying, you're looking for a church, I don't know if this church is the church that you want to be at or be involved at. That's up to God actually to tell you as you follow Him. But wherever you do go, make sure that you pay close attention to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, and look for these things in the complexion of the church that you are being led to by God. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then those who gladly received Peter's words, his words. The word gladly is a word of praise, of worship, in line with our topic this morning. So they gladly received the word, they were baptized, and about that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. That is a church where God is being praised and the word is going out. That church is going to grow. The Holy Spirit will do that. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. That's church and getting to know one another. That's something that is incumbent upon the believer to not only gather together for church, but to get to know one another. In the breaking of bread, that's eating together, and in prayers. We should be praying for one another. Verse 43, then fear, that's a reference to worship. It's not fear like afraid or scared, it's reverence or awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, that's called church, and they had all things in common. That is, they were humble, and they sold their possessions and their goods, and they divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily, it says, with one accord in the temple and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. That is a call to worship again, gladness and simplicity of heart. That's an attitude of worship. And verse 47 is extremely obvious. They were praising God. And having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. These are the ingredients for a healthy church. You can go through there and circle words as we go through this series on Why Should I? That's the title of this series, the Why Should I series, and we're marching our way through. And so this morning we come to Why Should I Worship? And we'll conclude in our study on this particular topic. Why should I worship? We know this already. It demands, and you're experts now knowing that there's no such thing as real worship unless we have been converted. We need a new spirituality. And that happens by coming to know Christ. So first thing we noticed in our study is that worship is a spiritual act. It's not a physical titillation. It's not a physical stimulant. We come to worship God. We have not come here to be entertained. We have not come here to sit down and, oh, let's see how the worship band does today. Oh, let's see and experience how Anna's going to lead us in some worship with a Hindu background flavor now in Christ. Oh, no, not that. God forbid that we should enter into any sanctuary or be gathered together ever in a spiritual setting and critique or judge the music that does not belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. It's His. It's His worship. So we come to God knowing that it is a spiritual act that we are embarking upon. A new spirituality is in need for that to happen. That is, we need to be born again. We learned also that it has to be offered up in faith, that when we worship, it is to be done in faith. We are to be sharing our hearts to the Lord whom we cannot see. Faith. Without faith, we learned last time that it's impossible to please God. We offer to Him our worship in faith. And then we saw that we offer to Him our worship from a loving heart. Remember, we talked about a certain woman. Do you remember? She was a notorious sinner, remember? And she came into the presence where Jesus was gathered together, and she broke her dowry, that is the alabaster flask full of fragrant oil and perfume that she would have used for her future. She broke that precious thing, poured it out upon Jesus, and began to weep in worship before Him. And she began to dry His feet with the hair of her head. And we saw how that was a very powerful manifestation of true heartfelt worship. Then we talked about how true spiritual worship requires a pure life. And we talked about that the meaning of it, in that by Christ and His blood being appropriated to our lives as Christians, we have been declared pure, and we have been declared now forgiven by God the Father because of the offering of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Jesus went to the cross in our place 2,000 years ago. He paid a debt on the cross that you and I could never pay. He was our atonement. He was, as John put it, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, because that's true, and because we are now believers in Him, are we sinless in this world? No. I wish I could say yes. Don't you want to say yes? Oh, I wish that was the case. But we're not. We're forgiven, but we are still laden with sin. And that sin challenges us every day. And it certainly challenges us in this act of worship that we embark upon. But the truth of the matter is, God declares our righteousness. And so because Christ has died for us, and because God declares our righteousness by pursuing Him in our love and our worship of Him, we want to draw closer to Him. Isn't that what your heart is as a Christian? You want to draw closer to Him. You want to know Him more. We walk in purity, dedicated to Him, yes. When we fail, we confess and forsake that sin and give it back to Him. Lord, take that away. I have sinned in this area, and God, I don't want to do that again. And Lord, keep me walking in Your Spirit. If you do that, you are walking still in purity, not perfection. We will not be perfect till we get there, there being heaven. But though we long for perfection, God declares us pure. And the Bible says we are to worship Him in this heart of purity. We need to make a clear understanding of that as a believer. Many people get so defeated when you bring even up that topic, and yet it's so very important. We must be worshiping God in purity. You can't be sleeping with your girlfriend and then be here on Sunday with your hands lifted up and worshiping God, and then afterwards go back and sleep with your boyfriend. That's not acceptable to God. You say, man, that's pretty heavy. Heavy? We're talking about the eternal God here. He loves you. He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. He wants you to live and go to heaven. And He's holy, and He's awesome, and He's to be worshipped. And besides all that, the damage that that kind of lifestyle and any kind of sin does to us. God is for us, not against us. And then we looked in our study last time, why should we worship? Well, it was this. Our second point was worship in our private lives. Remember that? Worship in our private lives. Well, the Bible tells us that we should worship God in our private lives in the way of holiness, in the beauty of holiness. And I love this. Private life, beauty of holiness, what does that mean? Christian, carefully understand this, that there is no real public worship that's, satisfying to God unless it's coming from a person, from a Christian whose life is worship. You see, you know, Jack, I don't know. What do you mean? Well, I'll ask you this question. Is this your only act of worship during the week? I hope not. This is what's called a convocation. It is the congregation that has gathered to worship God in mass or in group. It's what the Bible talks about, reading Acts chapter 2, that they came to the temple and they gathered together. That was in mass. That was in group. The convocation of God's people. We're all here right now and we worship. There's Tuesday, there's Wednesday, there's Thursday. My question to you is, Christian, if you do not have a private life of worship, you got to get one right now. It'd change your life. I don't know why, how. It's a mystery to me in how God brings us about in our lives. But listen, if you feel this morning that you're just not getting much out of your Christian experience, then you know what, my friend? You need to go spend time with God alone in this place of worship. Well, yeah, yeah. Good idea, Pastor. I've got so much to pray about and ask Him for. That's not what I said. Get alone with Him. Look, if I can do it, you can do it. And here's one of the reasons, or here's, I guess, so an excuse, reason. It depends on how you take it. I live in a really tiny house. That's why we have a really tiny dog. You got our Christmas card. I mean, we've got a little tiny dog. Kathy Jo, you know you've been. We live in a house that's a little over 1,000 square feet in size. So we got a little 4-pound dog. But I got 3 women in my house plus a female dog. I'm terribly outnumbered. But my masculinity is not challenged by that. I'm secure. I know who I am. But I got to tell you something. When it is time for me to be with the Lord, when it's time for me to study, God will not talk to me when I open the Bible to study. You don't know that? I can have my computer open. I can have all my books stacked up. God will not talk to me. He won't speak to me. It's almost as though He folds His arms and just shuts the door and says, Jack, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to spill my heart out to you so you can go to the pulpit and say things that you got from me and without you talking to me first. And I want you to talk to me in this place, in this area of worship. I want you to worship me. You say, Jack, are you nuts? Man, that's really vulnerable. I know. That's why in a house my size, I go in the bathroom. It's the quietest place in my house. I turn on the light. It's got a fan connected to it. Kind of blocks out all the outside noise that's going on. I've even lined the bathtub with pillows and blankets and sat in there and read my Bible and I sing to the Lord. Now, if there was anybody in my house at that time, they'd probably exit my house at that time. But you know what? I can't hear anything of it. Now, you may think, you know, you're insane. Well, you know what? If that's insane, then I want to stay right there. Okay? Because you know what? He's real. And there's something that happens when I sing to Him and talk with Him this way and worship Him. There's something that gets going. All of a sudden, my big, huge problems begin to dissipate. He begins to get bigger. I start getting, listen, guys, tune in. I start to get feelings. Kind of like mushy feelings for the Lord. It's really wild. It's like, God, I don't think I want to leave this room. No wonder why Jesus said, the apostles taught us, find a prayer closet. Remember? Jesus says, go into your secret place and seek me there. Then come out in public. That's an act of private worship that God will take in your life and make public your relationship with God. There will be no victory in our Christianity until we're alone with God privately. I might be able to fool you some of the time. You may be fooling your neighbors some of the time. That won't work. In the long run, those who are with God alone, privately, will succeed in the end. Christian, Calvary, this church, make note, this day, if you don't have an appointment with God, find a place, make an appointment with God, and worship Him privately. Watch what happens to your life. And then you know what? You'll come in here, and you won't care how crowded the sanctuary is. There's nobody else here but you and God. It won't matter. Jesus says, you want to know me more? Get into the closet. Well, I thought I'd come out of the closet. Well, you should have stayed in the closet and found out who you really were in Christ before you come out of the closet. Man, spend time with God alone in the closet and you'll come out right. You'll come out with your head thinking straight. You'll come out knowing, God, you are awesome. And my life means nothing to me anymore. But in the presence of you, no wonder why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where did he get that kind of knowledge? He was whispered that in private with God. A.W. Tozer has a book. You ought to buy it if you can find it. It's extremely difficult. Try Amazon and their old books. Amazon.com. It's hard to find. It's called God Tells the Man Who Cares by A.W. Tozer. Spend time with God alone. God will tell you secrets. Private worship. No wonder why Psalm 23, verse 4. You know this, David, his great psalm. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Yeah, we all know that. Even the world knows that verse, don't they? It's quoted all the time, known by the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The word for you are with me can also be translated because. I like it better. Listen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because, why? You are with me. How do you know that God is with you? By not coming to church on Sundays. It's by knowing him Monday through Saturday, and Sunday is just the whipped cream on the top. I'm talking about a personal relationship with a living God. Yay! How do you read that? Yay, David says. Yahoo! Yippee! Out of sight from the 70s. Groovy! Cool! Any young people in here? What's the big word now? Sweet. Sweet? We said sweet in the 70s too. That's not on. Just so you young ones know, that's not new. You thought you made that up? Sweet? We ought to just introduce it. Why don't I introduce a real old one? That is so cherry. Remember? For those of you visiting Calvary, it was nice to have you here. I probably just ruined all that. David says, yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. A personal, worshipful life? No wonder why death just simply becomes a shadow. Did you ever read that, friend? Hey, have you ever caught on to that one? Death to the believer is simply a shadow. Guess what? When the Son of Righteousness rises, S-O-N, that shadow goes away. And it's only a valley. Valleys have geographical beginnings and endings. The death experience for the believer, we worship God here and now. Listen, that will never change. The act of it will only just get better at it. Until the point, like Enoch, who walked with God and loved God, he was walking around praising the Lord, and then one day his footprints left the planet. Somehow we don't know, but the Bible says God took him from the earth. Enoch walked with God, and then Enoch was no more, for God took him. They probably got so into it, talking, sharing. Enoch probably went, man, can you, let's just wait, time out, let's just stop, I gotta worship you. And God says, you know what, Enoch, you are so cute. Your voice, you singing with me, our conversations together, I can't take it anymore. You're coming home with me. In fact, I like this. Enoch walked with God, and I think that Enoch walked so far away from his house with God that he was closer to God's house than his own house, and he just went home with God that day. Amen. Worship. He had a private, worshipful life with God. So no wonder why David says, yahoo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Do we have that assurance? He is with me. If you know he's with you, the place and the wherewithal to have discovered that is having a private life with God. And the more you have a private life with God, the more you will absolutely mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run. You're not going to get pooped out. You'll walk. You're not going to faint. A private time with him. Joshua, no need to turn there, but jot it down in your notes. Joshua chapter 4. I love that chapter of worship. That is a great chapter of worship. Quickly, public worship. How it connects to private worship. Public worship, God tells Joshua, you know what? When the priests go across, have them pick up 12 stones. When you guys cross over from Moab, from the area of Jordan, when you cross the Jordan River and get into the Israeli territory or the Promised Land, when those priests go across, have them pick up 12 stones, one representing each tribe of Israel. And when you get on the other side where you encamp that night, by the way, we know it's called Gilgal. When you guys pitch your tents in Gilgal tonight after you cross over into the Promised Land, I want you to stack those 12 stones together as a memorial. You know what happened? They all did it. But if you keep reading Joshua chapter 4, you wind up reading something that a lot of people skip. There weren't 12 stones. There were 24 stones. There wasn't one altar of remembrance erected. There were two. One was the public gathering of the priest crossing over the Jordan and putting the stones at Gilgal. The other stack of 12 stones was done by one man alone by himself. His name was Joshua, which, by the way, is his name in Hebrew. His name in Greek, we would say today, is Jesus. We say Jesus because that's the Greek name for Christ. Joshua is his Hebrew name. Joshua, the general of Moses' forces, his assistant, was a type of Christ. I will meet you in public worship as priests stack the stones. Publicly. The monument, it says in Joshua, is still here to this day at the time of the writing. Then Joshua goes back to the river before God caused it to fill back in. And guess what he did? He stacked 12 stones together all by himself. And then he walks onto the Promised Land, Joshua does, and then the water flows over them, and they're hidden. And yet the Bible still says that they're there to this day. My question to God and to any archaeologist is, where? We've got a really good idea where they crossed over, just north of the Dead Sea. We know it was south from the city of Adam, because the Bible says that's where the water backed up to Adam. So we kind of know where. I want to see the stones. You know what? Even if we went there today and dried up the Jordan River, though there's a lot of stones, and the Bible does say they're there till this day, we could never identify them. You want to know why? They're not your stones. They're not mine. They were never intended to be discovered by any human being.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Worship? It's actually Pastor Jack's series within a series called Why Should I? It's a collection of studies that takes a look at what God's written word has to say about the life of the believer and how it's to be lived. It's a pretty interesting series, don't you think? We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget, we're offering Pastor Jack's series called When a Christian Prays in a 2-CD set. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions about prayer, and sad to say, even some professing believers pray without understanding what prayer really is. And of course, Pastor Jack addresses these kinds of issues in this audio series. When a Christian Prays, Pastor Jack's 2-CD set is yours for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach. I'll say that again. For your contribution of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD series called When a Christian Prays. Call, click, or write, but do it right away. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the banner on the right there that says Special Offer. Or maybe you prefer the traditional way, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ
and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.